Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the DA Show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can find us across the CBS Sports Radio network, but also on Sirius XM Channel 206, the DA Show, and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, available on satellite Sirius XM Channel 206. Our next guest is going to try to take on the monster that is spring football, which is so interestingly timed considering we've been talking a lot about the USFL. Just had Jeff Perlman join us, the author of the fantastic new book, Football for a Buck, just the other day. So joining us on the show right now is a last name you certainly know, and that is because his father is a titan in television. He is as well in the media and entertainment world. He is the CEO and founder of the new Alliance of American Football, which you'll be able to watch on CBS Sports Network and CBS starting in February. Charlie Ebersole is our guest this morning on the show. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Amazing. We're finally getting to tell people the name of teams. It's a good day.
I know. We here on the DA Show are kind of fans of leagues past and those that have tried to be upstarts and rivals and fun nicknames or whatever. So when I saw the Birmingham Iron or the Orlando Apollos, I was getting into it. The Atlanta Legends. This is cool. New logos, new team names. And as I mentioned, the USFL is kind of on everybody's mind right now as we discuss. When you look back at previous spring leagues, you looked at the USFL, I'm sure. What did you take away that you said, hey, we should try to do that as well?
People are drawn to great football. That if you can put quality football on the field, they want to show up. The USFL, for all of the hay that people make about its demise, failed to sometimes include the fact that they were averaging north of 35,000 tickets in most of those cities, and people were showing up. I mean, they had like a 19 rating on ABC. Which is unheard of when you think about the modern professional landscape. So what we focused on was football, bringing Bill Polian in as my co-founder and the head of football operations was something that I thought would help do that. And thus far, given the players and coaches that we've signed, it's a pretty good indication that we're going to be able to live up to that ethos.
Financially, though, the USFL did itself in because they tried to go toe-to-toe financially in outspending the NFL. They were able to get big names, but ultimately that did in a lot of the owners. You guys are looking for a long-term build. Salaries just at $50,000 a player with some bonuses wrapped in there. Are you at all worried that the owners will want to go and spend more than what you guys have earmarked and do kind of what had happened with the USFL?
Well, a couple of things. We don't have owners. We're a single entity league. So all employees, all coaches, everybody report to the city, to the top company. Second of all, our players aren't making $50,000. They're a 3-year guaranteed contract, which is worth $250,000. $70,000 the first, $80,000 the second, $100,000 the third. Third of all, we have built a digital platform that is pretty much the most robust in professional sports, which allows players to be bonused off of fan interaction. So if a fan picks a player on a fantasy platform or in a bet, et cetera, and you'll be able to have in-game betting on our platform through our partnership with MGM, the players actually make money on top of their regular season salary, which is as high or just short of the NFL practice squad schedule salary. They'll be able to make money every time they get picked on a fantasy team, every time they get picked in a bet, every time a fan likes them on Facebook, etc. So we designed a system that we think is reflective of the modern era, where a player could literally make limitless amounts of money if they engage with our platform in the right way with their fans. One of the things that I think the mistake has been is that as professional sports have gotten bigger and bigger, the players have seen their salaries grow to a degree and then stagnate while the valuations of franchises have exploded. So what we look to do is create a dynamic system in which the player is rewarded. A player like Juju in Pittsburgh, who's built hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube and built a real meaningful business, but isn't really benefiting from that directly. In our league, they'd make a lot of money in that situation.
Charlie Ebersole joins us, CEO and founder of the new Alliance of American Football, joining us this morning on the show. There's so much interesting stuff there, but I do want to ask about your relationship with the XFL, because I think some people are going, okay, we're going to have two spring football leagues after going for so long without them. You were the director of the 30 for 30 about the XFL. When you were making that film, did you know the XFL and Vince McMahon had an angle on trying to start a spring league just the same way you wanted to?
No, I mean, obviously, at the end of the film, he and my father talk about the potential for doing it, which was interesting because I was down the path on our project undercover with our relationship with investors, et cetera. I will say this. The unique proposition of starting a new sports league is by itself a challenge. But when you add to the fact that everyone wants you to be thinking about anything other than your league, I take comfort in the fact that I've got about 27 Super Bowl champions on my team, across coaches and players and executives within my organization. And the one consistent thing they all tell me is the years that we won Super Bowl were the years that we only focused on ourselves, and that your only enemy was injury, and the opponent you were facing across the field was different every week, and you need to focus on yourself. One of the things we've built as much as we could into the DNA of our league is that we have to focus on ourselves. The other spring leagues in the past made one giant mistake, in my view, which is that they hyper-focused on the NFL. They made the NFL their enemy. They said, oh, we're the no-fun league and the blah, 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 and all this other stuff, instead of just focusing on putting quality product on the field themselves and letting the fans decide. So our core focus is to put great football on the field and let the fans decide and buy in or not.
You guys are going to have an app, and that's where you're going to live stream for free a number of games, so fans won't have to be in front of the television. This is smart. It's mobile. People are on the go. You're on your phone. This makes a lot of sense. But also, you can have in-game, as you said, betting and wagering on your league if you're in one of those legal states. So if I'm in Las Vegas or I'm in New Jersey, Atlantic City, I can be on my phone and I can see a second half line, or I can see touchdown on this drive and I can lay some money on it?
Yeah, and even more significantly than that, we've built something that we internally call Stats 2.0. And we're able to, because we're a single entity league and we're in partnership with our players are our partners, we're able to capture data off the players and translate it into bets that people have never been able to see before. So one of the things that I fundamentally believe about the viewership of football is that it has been for 70 years a passive experience. That even if you're playing fantasy, you play fantasy up until the game starts, and then you become a Twitter or Facebook user. You are not playing fantasy while you're watching the game. In our world, we believe that fans want to interact. The modern fan is somebody who wants to have an active participation in the experience. When you walk into a sports bar, you want to debate with the guy wearing the Tom Brady jersey if you're a New York Giants fan. And so when we look at that, we wanted to create that social experience on the media platform, and we think that we've done that quite successfully.
Charlie Ebersole, CEO, founder of the Alliance of American Football. Final question is, out of all the startup leagues that have tried to challenge the marketplace over the last 50 years, let's say, I think the one that really nailed it best is MLS. They had some rocky times, but they found their niche, they found their audience, and they've now been here for 25 years. And franchise values are skyrocketing. They've been able to bring in good talent. And they also had a bit of a single entity situation. They had owners, but obviously it kind of reported always to the top. Was there a model there that the MLS used that you guys also wanted to utilize?
Yeah, the MLS is killing it. I mean, when you look at the success in Atlanta and Seattle and a handful of these marketplaces, what they did is they built an affordable sport for fans that also was not ridiculously long. One of the things we really looked at and we've tapped into is that our game is going to be 2 to 2.5 hours long instead of 3.5 to 4 hours long, like the current football in both collegiate and professional zones. So for our focus, we looked at what the MLS did for their fans, and we focused heavily on it. What we thought we could do additionally, and what we've attempted to do, is make the fans a beneficiary of our success. When their team wins, they win points, which they can use to play more games, et cetera. When their favorite players win, they win points. The average fan in their lifetime spends anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 on being a fan. In my world, that's an investor, and investors should be rewarded, and that's something that we focused on really heavily.
Fans are going to be able to stream Alliance matchups via the free Alliance app while accessing integrated gaming options, as we mentioned, with real rewards, as Charlie was just mentioning as well. There's a big focus on the players and the audience and their interaction, which I think is really cool. And the Alliance, kind of nicknamed after the Alliance of fans and players and teams, not just a league of what we see and what we watch, kind of as Charlie just said, passively. Charlie Ebersole joining us this morning on the show. Charlie, I'm excited about the endeavor. I'm excited about watching it on our parent television networks and whatnot. So I hope we can do this again, man. Thanks so much for doing it, and we're all intrigued around here on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
Charlie Ebersole joining us this morning on the DA Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.